Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta
Vrinda
Madhyam Samadandasya Ginan Gina Shavataya Chakshuli Militam Jainathas Maya Sri Guruve Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shapitam Jainabhutai Shwayam Rupakadhamayam Dhananti Shvapadanti Kham Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Dhaita Dharha Shri Vasari Goh Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindhuvebhyascha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. I'd like to begin by offering my obeisances to my eternal well-wisher, spiritual preceptor, deliverer from this ocean of birth and death to the spiritual world where every step is a dance, every word is a song, and there's a festival every day. That is my beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. I also offer my obeisances to my senior godbrothers, Giriraj, Swami Maharaj, and His Holiness Bandi Narayan Goswami. It's always a little difficult for me to speak in front of Giriraj Swami because he's very much my senior. Light years, my senior, and it's not the etiquette that the junior speaks in front of the senior. In 1974, Srila Prabhupada said, and I quote, "Our Giriraj Swami is becoming very expert at lecturing on the scriptures." So I asked Giriraj Swami Maharaj's blessings to say something significant, and Bhadri Narayan Maharaj, when I joined the movement in 1970, he was already there, well engaged in devotional service. So the junior, the crow is speaking in the presence of two swans. Please forgive me. So today, once again, we are observing this very famous, instructive festival called the Panihati Festival, also known as the Chipped Rice Festival. You'll realize that when we have prasadam. Again, it's very wonderful that Tukaram Prabhu has been nicely observing this event for many years. This is a wonderful example of leadership in our Krishna conscious movement. Festivals, in general, are actually a very intricate part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. If you've noticed that on the Vaishnava calendar, there's practically a festival every day. Not every day, but almost every day. And we should note all of them, and we should observe all of them. Sometimes the tendency is just to show up for Janmashtami, or Radhashtami, or Sringadev's appearance day, or Gaur Purnima. But actually, the Vaishnava calendar shows many appearance days of various incarnations of the Lord and various pure devotees of the Lord, and even we celebrate significant events in the history of our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. They should be observed. There's a Vaishnava calendar that you can follow. In Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, there's a list of, I believe it's 23 offenses to be avoided while serving the Lord, And the second one, interestingly enough, is as follows. One should not fail to observe the various festivals for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Janmashtami and Rath Yatra. It's part of the nourishing process, like you pour water on a seed. We were giving the example earlier, and the seed grows. So our seed of bhakti is very much nurtured by gathering together and hearing some Krishna katha, chanting, associating with each other, taking chipped rice today. And why is it so important to observe these events? One reason is that we're preparing ourselves to go back home, back to Godhead, where, as I mentioned, there's a festival every day. So you have to practice so that when you get there, you can do it properly. Is there a festival every day in the spiritual world? If there's some sentiment, some idea someone's come up? No. It's there in Brahma Samhita. In the Brahma Samhita, which is one of our fundamental scriptures, Bhakti Sanana Saraswati Thakur said we should actually read that Brahma Samhita as a regular daily function. And there it's stated, in the spiritual world, Lord Krishna is the only lover. Every tree is a wish-fulfilling tree. Every pebble is a gem. All water is nectar. Every word is a song. Every step is a dance. The flute is the favorite instrument, and there's a festival every day. It makes Krishna consciousness so attractive to know that that is the positive alternative to dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Elegance is truth spoken concisely. So in the 700 concise verses of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna summarizes up this whole phantasmagoria, which we're all struggling with in this world, the material world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This is a temporary place full of suffering. That's it. There's no debate. So what's the alternative? What we just described is the alternative. It gives you a lot of inspiration to become serious about Krishna consciousness. And as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in one of his initiation ceremonies in the 1930s, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to the spiritual world in this one lifetime. We're actually practicing sadhana bhakti. Prabhupada aptly put it so expertly. He said, sadhana bhakti means devotional service and practice. We're practicing what liberated souls in the spiritual world do naturally. This is people, especially here on the West Coast, I'd say they're really attracted to natural things, you know, natural living, natural food, natural homegrown food, clothes, cotton. So what could be more natural than Krishna consciousness? But it takes a while to get used to it, because we've been off the track for a while. But actually, it's the most natural thing. We have to practice it. That's sadhana bhakti. Then it becomes raganuga, then it becomes prema. It becomes something very natural. So because there's so many festivals in the spiritual world, this is part of our sadhana bhakti, coming together, congregating like this, and performing these festivals. What we do here in the material world qualifies us for going back to the spiritual world. And that's very nicely described by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Chaitanya Chandamrita, one of my favorite books actually, translated by my godmother Kushikata Prabhu. Gives us an insight into the heart of Lord Chaitanya and his missionary activities of spreading Krishna consciousness. So he guarantees us that what we practice here will qualify us to go back to the spiritual world and do it there. Specifically, he says, yata yata gora padara vinde indeta bhaktim krita punya rasi tata tato sarpadi vidya kajmat radapanam bhoja sadambu rashi. One of my favorite verses. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, to that degree we gain qualification for the service of Radharani's lotus feet in Vrajabhumi Srivindavana. Or in modern vernacular English, practice makes perfect. So, just how do we observe these festivals in order to become perfect, to go back to the spiritual world? We need a little guidance. Okay, so we have a festival every day in the spiritual world, and by practicing festivals here, we qualify ourselves to go back to that eternal festival. So just how do we do it? That knowledge is given by our acharyas. Every question you may have is answered in Krishna consciousness. There's no stone left unturned. In his Harinam Chintamani, verses 83 and 84, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a hint how to observe such a festival as the Panihati festival today. Quote, "One should observe Ekadasi, the appearance days of the Lord, and all other important festivals. This endeavor will bring good fortune. You're at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. This endeavor will bring good fortune. One should spend the entire festival day and night," we're trying to get to that stage one day, "chanting and singing the glories of the Lord in the association of saintly persons." Isn't that wonderful? Very clear how to observe these events. One should observe Ekadasi, the appearance days of the Lord, and all other important festivals. This endeavor will bring good fortune. One should spend the entire festival day, it's supposed to end at 2:30, but here it says, and night, chanting and singing the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. And just so that it's not fiction, that spiritual world, the Lord comes here himself to this material world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there's a decline in religiosity and an increase of irreligion, I come myself millennium after millennium. And in the process of coming, he brings these festivals with him just so we can see firsthand. If you read Krishna book or you read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can appreciate that festive atmosphere that's always there in the Lord's daily activities, especially when Krishna comes back from the forests in the evening. That's technically the moment that the festival begins, because all day he's with the cowherd boys. So all the other devotees who have different rasas with Krishna, like he's the child, or he's the lover, or whatever the case may be, they're feeling so much separation. You think, oh, it's just the day. But as much as you love someone to that degree, when they're gone, you feel the intensity of separation. And no one loves Krishna more than the residents of Vrindavan. They love Krishna more than anyone's ever been loved before. So you think in your own life, in this world, when a friend goes away, or your wife, or your husband, your child goes away to college or whatever, pulls the heartstrings. But imagine the nature of transcendental love, that full-blown love for Krishna. When Krishna goes away, how do we understand? We can only understand from the quotes of devotees who experienced, like the Lord himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared to experience the love of his devotee Radha. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. So if that's just a moment separation, what about the whole day? So what it must be like when after a whole day Krishna's been herding the cows in the forest with his cowherd boys, he killed a demon, right? Every day Kamsa would send a demon. So we hear about the principal demons, but there was a demon coming every day to Vrindavan when Krishna was a young boy. And just before lunch. Just before lunch. So Krishna would kill the demon, that was a sign lunch is on its way. And then after Krishna killed the demon, the boys would sit down and they would discuss that pastime. How this equal amongst us is so expert at killing, he's a demon killer. They'd go home and tell their parents, and everyone, the whole brudge would talk about it. So when he would come home in the evening, he would appear coming over the pasture land with, you know, Krishna and Balaram, Krishna playing his flute and the cowherd boys dancing and singing the glories of the day and cows all jumping and twirling and their tails going. And then the residents of Vrindavan would see them that evening just before the sun went down. That's the moment that the Brahma Samhita actually mentions. That's the festival when Krishna went home. It was just like life was returning to the body of Vrindavan. And that they celebrated every day. It's such a wonderful thing. It happened every day, but by The potency of yoga maya, it's always like the first time. This is the beauty of yoga maya. These pastimes are repeated often, but every time they happen, by the potency of maya, the residents of Vrindavan think, oh, this is the first time. And there's always something about, isn't it, in your life, the first time you do something that's really special to your heart later on, first time. So that's the festival of the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangisha Parsharam Yabnai Sankatan Payar Yajantihi Shumerishaha. He's the same personality, bluish black like a monsoon cloud in Dupara Yuga, but he's appeared in Kali Yuga. You can recognize him because he's of golden color, and he's always surrounded by devotees who are singing his own sweet holy names. This is a verse which verifies the appearance of Lord Chaitanya in Kali Yuga. So Mahaprabhu, he also carried on this tradition of festivals in this world. Big ones and small ones. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says, E mata bharamasha kirtana avashane amra mahotsava. That's the word, mahotsava. We say maha mahotsava, big festival. This is amra, small. Amra mahotsava prabhu kare dhine dhine. Bengali is such a sweet language. Prabhupada said people will learn this language to Westerners will learn this Bengali language to read Chaitanya Charitamrita in its original form someday. But the translations are. So what is the translation? In this way the Lord performed Sankirtan every day, and at the end of Sankirtan there was a mango eating festival every day for 12 months. Yeah. That was a small one. Those mangoes didn't have any skins, and those mangoes didn't have any seeds. Small is beautiful. And as we know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also encouraged us in this festive mood by observing every year the great Rath Yatra festival. That was a time when you could come and see your Ishtadeva. Ishtadeva means your worshipable Lord, the Lord of your life. And technically, Mahaprabhu is the Lord of our life. We're Hare Krishnas, we're devotees of Lord Krishna, in the ultimate sense, but we worship Krishna in the form of his avatar for that age, so technically we're Gaura Bhaktas. We're Gaura Bhaktas, because by the mercy of Gauranga we can understand the deep, intricate, loving pastimes of God and Krishna. And by his mercy alone we can one day enter into those eternal pastimes. So he taught us the process of these festivals. And perhaps the most dear of all the festivals was Rath Yatra, where he would personally dance in front of the cart of Jagannath, exhibiting devotional symptoms of the highest nature. And you can imagine, after this a lifetime of small and big festivals, which were so much enjoyed by the devotees. We always look forward to festivals at the culmination of the week, the month, the year. Devotees really love festivals. They always turn out great numbers of festivals. You can imagine the festivals of Panchatattva, what those were like. So when he left, Mahaprabhu wound up his earthly pastimes and went back to the spiritual world. Just imagine the separation that his devotees felt from him. This is real love. We think we know about love, but what we experience of love in this world is generally something very self-centered, is something selfish. Krishna says, it's lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Real love means to give your love to the original lover, Krishna, with whom you have a very intimate, loving relationship. And it's not centered on you, it's centered on him. Love means to give more than you take. So the Brajabhasis and the Gaur Bhaktas, because the Gaur Bhaktas, all those male personalities were actually female personalities in Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago in the spiritual world. They all have their Manjari forms in the spiritual world. So you can just imagine when he left, what was the situation? It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that the situation was such that the devotees were crying day and night, they're on the ground, rolling in a destitute situation. It's described that for 50 years, no one could pick up a mridanga, and no one could pick up kartals to chant the glories of the Lord. It's so nicely described by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati again in his Chaitanya Chandamrita, I think it's chapter 12, verse 140. I always remember this verse at the end of our Polish Festival of India tour every year in Poland. We go for 2 months. We have a festival literally every day. Minimum 5,000 people a day. Thousands of books distributed. Tons of prasadam. So many hearts are touched by Krishna consciousness. So that last day of the festival, you know, when I give the goodbye talk and then people start leaving, I remember this verse. Just, I get a little idea of what it was like for the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada Saraswati has written, "The fortunate town of Navadvipa remains on the earth. The seashore remains. The city of Jagannath Puri remains. The holy names of Lord Krishna remain. Alas, alas, but I do not see anywhere the same kind of festival of pure love for Lord Hari. O Chaitanya, O ocean of mercy, will I ever see your transcendental glory again?" That's the verse I remember, the end of the Polish tour. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, of course, that festive tradition was carried on, most notably by one of our favorite devotees. He's a very favorite devotee in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srinarottam Das Thakur. If you want to know more about him, you can order or come by that book, a new book by my dear godmother Thakurani, Sitala, I call her Thakurani. She's a wonderful devotee. And she wrote a whole book about Narottam Das Thakur, his past life. You can order it on Amazon, I think. He inaugurated, most notably, the first Gorpurnim festival. This is a real favorite, especially here, from Gorpurnim festival, right? And it's continued down to the modern day, that festival he inaugurated. Again, the devotees were feeling so much separation from Lord Chaitanya. Narottam Das Thakur, who appeared just after the departure of Lord Chaitanya, he was thinking how to get the devotees inspired again. This is the duty of leadership, to keep the devotees always inspired. So he was thinking, well, why don't we organize a festival? And he was talking with Shamananda Pandit, one of his best friends, and Srinivasacharya, the three of them. They studied in the school of Jiva Goswami for quite some time, some years, after the departure of Lord Chaitanya. Jiva Goswami was like Narottam Das Thakur's Shiksha Guru. When they graduated, he got the title Thakur, Shamananda got the title Pandit, and Srinivasa got the title Acharya. So they got their names. So the three of those brothers, they came up with this idea. Let's do a big festival, call all the devotees who are lamenting. Let's call the great luminaries who are still living, like Janavamata, the wife of Lord Nityananda, she was still present. We'll hold a big, big Mahotsav. Everybody will be enlivened. And Narottam said to Srinivasa, also we can all discuss amongst all the Mahants, the great Vaishnavas, and confirm what is the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, so many devotees, so many so-called devotees were speculating on his teachings, and it was getting a bit dangerous. The situation was critical. So Narottam said, let's all get together and we'll decide once and for all what is the actual philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, they had this event, and they had their discussions, and they had a very special kirtan. Narottam was actually leading. They were installing 6 or 7 deities. And in the midst of that kirtan, which Narottam was leading, the Panchatattva appeared again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Itai, Gadadhar, Dvaita, Srivast, all these illustrious personalities appeared, not just an image, but they actually appeared in their transcendental forms to all these devotees who had not seen them in 50 years, who had never seen them before. That was a festival. Narottam Das Thakur's singing was so pure, he brought forth the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, the festivals continued. In most recent times, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stressed the observance of festivals, not only for devotees, but for the public. He took it to the people. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's public festivals, I draw a lot of inspiration from them, because somehow my career has taken the direction of doing public festivals, introducing people to Krishna consciousness, primarily through Vaishnava culture. Prabhupada said one time, we'll take the world over by culture. So people may not be inclined to buy a book or to come to a temple, they may have some hesitation, but if they come to a big cultural event where they're singing and dancing, and you know, we have so much rich culture in Krishna consciousness, different types of dance, different types of theater, so we do like this. It's a soft sell, but I give a 45-minute lecture on Bhagavad Gita. We have a book table, and we're all dressed in dhotis and saris, so we're not hiding anything. But we make it fun. We make Krishna consciousness fun for the people. And actually, it is the panandrishta nivartante. We're not faking it. This is the highest pleasure. So many people, we've kind of got the formula down, so people come. And we're very innovative. As time goes on, each generation has to innovate without losing the tradition. This is the secret. To innovate, to make it attractive to the people of your times without compromising on the tradition of Krishna consciousness. So this I learned from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I read in a book written about his life by my godbrother Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, just how he attracted people to his events. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Following that statement by Rupa Goswami, Yena Tena Prakarena Mana Krishne Niveshaya. According to circumstances, you find out a means how people will take to Krishna consciousness. That's Prabhupada's translation. So just listen for a moment. There's two paragraphs here, but it's very interesting how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati organized festivals in the 1930s to attract the people of India to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He's really innovative. Are you ready?
Yes.
He called it expositions. The exposition was divided into two sections, spiritual and secular, with items collected from every part of India, and the whole extravaganza covered more than 1 square mile. Talk about a Mahotsava. The secular division, to attract the people, demonstrated miscellaneous departments of human endeavor, medical, educational, agricultural, arts and crafts, cattle and livestock, child welfare, athletics, amusements. Several provincial governments sent materials to be displayed. Other attractions were performances of athletic feats such as gymnastics, wrestling, boxing. Come to the Hare Krishna Sunday feast and watch some boxing. Sword and stick play and jujitsu. There were musical compositions, dramas, film shows, a full circus. And in the words of the harmonist, other varieties of innocent amusements. Prizes, medals, and certificates were awarded to the guests and to the deserving exhibitors and performers. That's where I got my ideas. The spiritual section was even more elaborate. A museum contained figures of Vishnu and Krishna and other religious objects and various things used by reputed sadhus. A book display featured volumes produced by different religious sects in diverse languages and manuscripts of rare unpublished religious works. There were photos and paintings of eminent sadhus and sundari sacred places. A major draw was a huge relief map of India occupying over a third of an acre, constructed on the ground with stone, cement, and brick, and showing prominent holy places, the locations of all Gaudiya Math branches, and the routes of Sri Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's tours. Dioramas in over 50 stalls depicted manifold religious ideas of India with emphasis on Lord Chaitanya's teachings. The practices of pure Vaishnavas, pseudo-Vaishnavas, and other religious sects were illustrated by life-size dolls set against backgrounds of appropriate painted scenes, many representing incidents in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Another novelty for numerous visitors was the brilliant illumination of the entire grounds by the recently discovered and installed electricity. So that's really taking innovation to the umpteenth degree. You know, somehow or other, Rupa Goswami says, get them to take up Krishna consciousness. We don't go that far in our festivals in Poland, but we make it a very beautiful, cultural, attractive program. And in other areas, in other parts of the country, like in South Africa, I'm going to more extreme means. We're holding a festival next December in Durban, South Africa, called the Festival of Social Cohesion. It's a big issue down there, how to get the blacks, the coloreds, the Indians, you know, Vietnamese and everybody all together. So we're inviting everybody to show their culture at this program. We'll also be there. And as you know, Krishna consciousness is most attractive. This is how we work, right? Moving on, our own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he observed festivals throughout his life. We know that when he was 5 years old, he told his father he wanted to organize a Ratha Yatra festival, but his father said, we don't have the money. So Prabhupada started crying. Just at that moment, by Krishna's arrangement, some Bengali lady walked by and she said, why is your son crying so much? And Guru Mohan Dev said, well, he wants to do Ratha Yatra, but I don't have the money to buy a cart. She said, I'll give you my cart. I have a cart. Right? Those are what Yamuna Dasi called magic moments in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada took that cart, got together his friends, and with the help of his parents, he held an 8-day Ratha Yatra festival in his neighborhood. That continued throughout his youth. And because that desire was very strong in his heart, when he brought it to the West, his desire was fulfilled by the illustrious activities of his most dear and saintly disciple, Jayananda Prabhu. Prabhupada said he's the first saint in Krishna consciousness because he took that Ratha Yatra to perfection. San Francisco and New York City, it went on to London. It was very dear to Prabhupada's heart. What is the benefit of that festival, Ratha Yatra? That's described by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur. He was also very much into observing these festivals, these Ratha Yatra festivals. He said one time, and it became like a maxim in the Gaudiya Math, they would always repeat this before the Ratha Yatra, what Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur said. He said, Rate cha vamanam drishtva punarjanma navidyate. Simply by seeing the Lord on the chariot, one makes advancement for stopping the repetition of birth and death. Rate cha bhamanam drishtva punarjanma navidyate. This is a common saying by Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur. If you're looking for a tattoo, you can do rate cha bhamanam drishtva. I'm not into tattoos, but sometimes if you want a shloka, there you go. Prabhupada became very innovative also, according to time, place, and circumstance. Like Mahaprabhu would observe the small festivals, Prabhupada started a small festival. And what did he call it? The Sunday Love Feast. There's no Sunday Love Feast in the Upanishads, the Smritis, and the Vedas. It was Prabhupada's innovation. A little mini festival, bring people, come for the free Sunday feast. I mean, that still works. You know, for the poor, the impoverished, or people who just can't make ends meet, let's go to the Hare Krishna festival and chow down. And what happens? You take that prasadam, cheto darpana marjanam. Prasadam, Prabhupada said, is our secret weapon. That's why before we take prasadam, with great focus, and we repeat the prayer for honoring prasad. We don't rush through it. We meditate on the meaning that this is great mercy. As merciful as the holy name, as merciful as the guru, as merciful as Sri Krishna is his prasadam. So Prabhupada, in the beginning, would personally cook and offer it. Can you imagine? And that Sunday feast became an integral part to this very day of Krishna consciousness. And of course Prabhupada encouraged us in his observation of the big ones like Janmashtami and Radhashtami, etc. Just to help us understand the importance of the festival started by Prabhupada or continued by Prabhupada, he wrote to Tamal Krishna Goswami on August 8, 1973. He said, my dear Tamal Krishna, observe as many festivals as possible. That will keep both the public and the devotees alive. Festivals mean chanting, dancing, and the distribution of prasadam. So we're continuing the tradition today here at the Panihati Festival. This is the perfect way, you could say, to counteract the evils of this age, because we live in a very evil age. Kalera doshad nid he rajan asyeka mahaguna kirtanariva krishna sya bukta sangha param vajat. 5,000 years ago, Suta Goswami, Shukadev Goswami, he, Sri Ganakal, he could see how Kali Yuga is going to get so bad. So, Kalera doshad nid he rajan, my dear King Parikshit, this is an ocean of inauspiciousness. Kirtanariva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vajay. It can be counteracted by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And wherever there's kirtan, there's a festival. Isn't it? Have you ever seen in the midst of kirtan, people lamenting and looking at their watches and thinking of the problems at home and at work? No. The mystical nature, step back sometimes during a kirtan and look what's happening. Everyone, without exception, is chanting and dancing. And wherever there's kirtan, there's that Vaikuntha, there's that festival. So these festivals are a way to counteract, because one of the main activities here today will be kirtan. So these festivals are a way of counteracting Kali Yuga. That's actually described in the Uttarakhanda section of the Padma Purana. Another one of our favorite devotees, the great saint Narada Muni. One day, just as Kali Yuga was beginning, Narada Muni visited the earth planet. And as he was walking, obviously in Bharat, in India, he came across three divine personalities who were in a state of lamentation. They were Bhakti Devi, and her two sons, Gyan and Vairagya. How are Gyan and Vairagya the sons of bhakti, devotion? That's described very nicely in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Gyanayat Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayat Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, by devotion, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. So knowledge and detachment are the result of performing devotional service. You don't have to be separately austere, study separately. You just practice bhakti yoga. Knowledge will come, and renunciation. You renounce all those things that are not favorable to devotional service. So Bhakti Devi was crying on the ground, and her two sons were crying on the ground. Narada inquired, "My dear lady, who are you? And who are these boys?" And Bhakti Devi said, "I am Bhakti Devi, devotion to the Supreme Lord personified. These are my two boys, Gyan and Vairagya." "Why are you crying, dear lady?" She said, "Because of the strong influence of Kali, which has just begun, we are suffering terribly because everyone is ignoring us. No one's interested in Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge in this modern day. They want IT diplomas so they can go to Silicon Valley. No one's interested in austerity. It's the opposite. Everyone's just interested in joy. They don't know the beauty of austerity, becoming detached from that which causes suffering." And she said, "No one's interested in me, in devotion. So we're feeling very destitute." So Narada, he raised his hand. As you see, sometimes there's some famous photos of Prabhupada. He's like this. He raised his hand in the air and he made a proclamation. He said, "Kalina shashtuk yokopi yugonashti varaname tasmin tvam yapa ishyami gehe ge jane jane." O beautiful lady, there is no age equal to Kali. In this age, I will personally preach your glories in each and every home and establish you within the hearts of each and every individual. Thank God. Hear my vow. Giving priority to devotional festivals over all other forms of religiosity, if I do not spread you everywhere on earth, then I shall no longer be known as a servant of Hari. The living entities that will be born in this age of Kali will be devotees who attain the abode of the Lord without any hindrances, even if they are sinners. That covers everybody, you and me. Giving priority to devotional festivals, he says. There you go. And that's why on the Polish festival tour, we have made Narada Muni, the patron saint. If you visit our festival tour, and you should come, I was telling Tukaram the other day that we have a big festival, the Woodstock Festival, where 1.2 million people come. I have 1,000 devotees with me. We're right in the center. We have 4 Rathayatras a day, 72 hours. We give out 162,000 plates of prasadam to the kids. They love us. Everyone loves us. They spend more time in our village than they do in the front of the main stage. And there's a million kids. I'm not exaggerating. I say that if you really want to experience the Sankirtan movement, what I say is, just as every Muslim has to go to Mecca once in their lifetime, every Christian should go to Jerusalem. Every Hare Krishna devotee should go to the Polish tour and participate in the Woodstock Festival. That will be August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We fly straight to Berlin. We'll pick you up, and we treat all guests like God. So, we're carrying on in a little way here. You don't have 1.2 million people, but again, small is beautiful here in Little Laguna Beach. But does this also help the world? Yes, it does. It's a beautiful verse I found in Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 8, verse 288, that shows that just one Vishnu Bhakta, one Hare Krishna devotee, chanting in the privacy of their home or on the way to the temple or in school, or just one devotee somewhere chanting and dancing, purifies in some ways the whole Kali Yuga. What? Yes? Bahudo Sayate Harsha Vishnu Bhakta Sinritata Padbumyam Bumer Tishokisham Dhurbum Va Mangalam Diva. This is from Hari Bhakti Vilas. In a variety of ways, the inauspiciousness of the earth is destroyed by the feet. The inauspiciousness of all directions is destroyed by the eye glances. And the inauspiciousness of the heavens is destroyed by the arms of Vishnu Bhakta dancing in joy. Wow. If I got a tattoo, that would be a tattoo. But I'm not into tattoos. In a variety of ways, the inauspiciousness of the earth is destroyed by the feet, the inauspiciousness of the directions is destroyed by the eye glance, and the inauspiciousness of the heavens is destroyed by the arms of a single bhakta dancing in joy. What to speak of a whole congregation today? So let us take advantage of this wonderful event today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in his Saranagati, Maravatiti Bhakti Dhanani Dhatane Palana Kuri. Holy days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami are the mothers of devotion for devotees who properly respect them. What does it mean to properly respect? It means that we don't just come here to enjoy. Our enjoyment comes when the Lord is pleased. If Krishna is happy, then naturally all his parts and parcels are happy. So we come here in a mood of humility to remember the particular event that we're observing, and we keep that within our mind, the personalities who are participating in that event, remember their glories. And when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we're thinking that we're doing this to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to please Radha and Krishna, to please Prabhupada. Again, love means to give more than you take. So we've come here to give rather than take. We've come here to actually glorify our beloved Lord. And that makes the festival really, that it takes it to the transcendental platform. This mood is very nicely expressed. How to sing for the pleasure of the Lord is very nicely described by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Sri Shvashankalpa Prakasha Stotra. He says, and listen carefully because we're going to have kirtan, so he's teaching us how to have kirtan. He writes, I pray that Vishakadevi, whose voice is sweeter than the cuckoo, may teach me the art of beautiful singing. I pray that by singing during the Lord's dancing pastimes, that I will please the divine youthful couple and obtain from them and their associates many necklaces of gold and jewels as my reward. Of course, it's not that he wants the gold and the jewels, but he wants the prasad. Whatever is used by a devotee, whatever is used by the Lord, it has a special significance, just like I gave Princess today. A diamond necklace, not real diamonds, but more valuable than real diamonds because it was worn by Srimati Radharani for some time. So that's called tadiya. So what he's praying to Vishakhadevi, please let me sing in such a way as that the divine couple will be pleased with my singing. So if we come together in that devotional mood, we observe these festivals, and maybe someday over the rainbow we'll qualify ourselves to join that eternal festival in the spirits of the sky, to be part of the divine couples festival, because they're always engaged in a festival, Radha and Krishna. Prabodhananda Saraswati hints this about the nature of Radharani's festival in verse 62 of his Radharasa Sudha Niti, which we don't often quote because it's very deep, but this is an appropriate verse. Sri Radhika, the lovely queen of Vrindavan's bower houses, let's love that, makes all spiritual goals and practices insignificant when she bestows upon one the festival of her eternal service. In doing so, she inundates the whole world with news of her nectarian beauty, and her face shines with innumerable autumnal moons. I'm going to read that again. I know I'm running out of time. I'm over time. But Sri Radhika, the lovely queen of Vrindavan's bower houses, makes all spiritual goals and practices insignificant when she bestows upon one the festival of her eternal service. In doing so, she inundates the whole world with news of her nectarian beauty, and her face shines with innumerable autumnal moons. So therefore, Nectar Devotion says, don't miss it, not just because you'll make an offense, but don't miss it because by these festivals you can make a quantum leap in your spiritual advancement. You just come here and just stand here in this event. Don't do anything, but just be here with these Vishnu Bhaktas who are, you know, causing the heavens to tremble in ecstasy. Just stand here. As Shakespeare said in Merchant of Venice, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain. Sorry. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. Merchant of Venice. And the amazing thing is that you can continue with these festivals. It's not that the temple is here to facilitate them, but if there's a festival every day, we need a lot of practice. We can't just wait for the next big event at the temple. We can do it in the privacy of our home. Smaller doesn't mean less potent. These festivals are very pure and can purify our hearts. And you can do them at home. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, chapter 2, verse 220, another one of my favorites. Ya karoti mahapala harir grihe mahotsavam tasyapi bhavati nityam hari loki mahotsavaha. O king of the earth, for one who organizes a festival for the Lord Hari in his home, an eternal festival is organized in his name in the Lord's abode.
Wow.
O king of the earth, for one who organizes a festival for Lord Hari in the privacy of his home, an eternal festival is organized in his name in the Lord's abode. There's so much mercy. Prabhupada's father told him, the Lord in his universal form has so many arms and hands, and you only have two little hands. How much of his mercy can you actually accept? He's just giving so much mercy. These are all ways of getting mercy. So let us take full advantage today. Either we'll observe this day in great opulence and then go home tomorrow and have a festival in your home as well. Perhaps that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated, and I conclude, Yedina grihe bhajana deki grihite golok bhaya. One day while performing devotional practices, I saw my house transformed to Goloka Vrindavan. Shri Panihati Festival Ki. Shri Prabhupada Ki.